discussing the principle of tefillah b'zmana mitzvah, which is really appears differently in the Gemara as it does in the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara refers to tefillah b'zmana mitzvah, according to some opinions, as being an absolute obligation to be tovel at the earliest possible time if the zman tefillah arrives. And that mitzvah would apply to married to single girls. As soon as a person becomes eligible to become tovel, obligated to be tovel. So that's why we don't pass. We pass to that vis-a-vis that tefillah b'zmana lav mitzvah. But the Shulchan Aruch does accept the idea that vis-a-vis labayla, in order for a woman to be mutaris to her husband, so that would be a tefillah b'zmana mitzvah in order to enable them to go have children. So that's what we pointed out last week. One of the couples not having children anyway, not planning having children anyway, but the husband's out of town, those kinds of situations, and then we really pass give meet where the tefillah b'zmana is a lav mitzvah. Nevertheless, we try to encourage women to go to the mikvah as soon as possible, even to the extent of Shabbos and Yontif, even though going on Shabbos and Yontif always creates all kind of other potential complications and other problems. Maybe it looks like misakin kli, misakin marah, like you're fixing yourself. So we're not so worried about that. Gemara says, in beitza, adam nir kemaker, it looks like the person is just cooling themselves off rather than fixing themselves, therefore it doesn't pose a problem. So we mentioned last week, there was some rishonim who say maybe that doesn't apply if you live in a cold climate, so we make on that also. Because we across the board, we let women, we encourage women to be tovlos, on a weeknight, on Shabbos nights, Yontif nights, on Shabbos, any time, even though there are a lot of other factors that would possibly point in the other direction, Avu Bichain, the quote-unquote Tefillah B'zmana Mitzvah always carries the day. Nevertheless, there are two nights during the year where that is not the case. One is Yom Kippur night and one is Tisha B'av night. And the truth is, even that is not so simple at all, because in the Din of the Gemara, it would appear that women are supposed to go to the mikveh, even on Yom Kippur night, even on Tisha B'av night. So take a look at page 35. In the fifth of the Makamos. So Tosus in Beitza quotes a braisa that appears in Masachas Beitza and the other Masachas Yuma. So on page 35, Marmako number 5, Kol Chai B'Tfilas Tovin Kedarka and Bein B'Tishba Bein Yom Kippur. So the braisa says explicitly that if one is obligated to go to the mikvah, one goes to the mikvah both on Tisha B'Av as well as on Yom Kippur. And why would one think otherwise? The answer is because there's a mitzvah of rechitza, one's not allowed to wash themselves on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av. And Yom Kippur is the machlokes in the Rishonim, whether it's in the Siman Torah. The Torah says you have to be ma'ani yourself. So inu in the Tisha B'Av explains, inu refers to eating and drinking. And then the Mishnah records the other inuim as well, rechitza, sicha, etc. So there's a question in the Rishonim whether all of those inuim are actually also Siman Torah. Maybe only a chidushti is also minatar. But whatever it is, for sure, there's this of rechitza on Yom Kippur. And then midirabon, the Chazal Institute, the Tisha B'Av also. The one is not allowed to wash oneself. The question is going to the mikvah considered to be washing oneself or not? So the Gemara says, no, not really. Because it's not derech tainug. It's washing, albeit you're washing, the mice of water is going on your body, but you're not doing it for the purpose of enjoying yourself. Let's say a person's hands are dirty because you went to the bathroom, you want to wash your hands off to get the dirt off. So to go to the mikvah, technically speaking, would be okay. We would label it as rechita she'en shel tainug, providing that it's really, really important. If it's really pressing to do, so then we would let you go ahead and actually go into the water on Yom Kippur or on Tisha B'Av. So that's what the braisa tells us. That's considered to be important enough to go to the mikvah Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. If kochai b'tvila stom kedarka mein b'tisha b'av b'yom Kippur. That's what it says in the Gemara. So it comes tells us and says that maybe that statement is not relevant for us. Why is that tefillah not relevant for us? So Tosfos writes, "Davka lahani shetovlin tefilas mitzvah b'zman." Maybe that halacha, you're allowed to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur night or on Tisha B'Av night. Maybe that's only true for those people who are observing tefillah b'zman a mitzvah. It says in the Chumash, "Shuv yom tiyah b'kelsa," 7 days of tmeah, and then you go to the mikvah the night of the eighth. Since it's so important to fulfill tefillah b'zman mitzvah, that maybe we don't even pass the mic, but if you're following that view of tefillah b'zman mitzvah, and you're really doing tefillah b'zman mitzvah, so then it makes sense. It's really, really important to get you to go to the mikvah at the right time, even at the expense of Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av. Vaal says to us this, on page 35. Page 35, the fifth source, the end of the line. Aval hashka, shekol tefillos, shena shal seimu tovlos, hana tefillah shalom b'zmana. Says to us, our women today, they're never tovlos at the right time. It's always tefillah shalom b'zmana. Why is it shalom b'zmana? Dehein sofo shiva nekiyam yisofek shein zovlos. Because b'zmana zeh, women have to count shiva nekiyam. We already spoke about tzmeitah. Yesterday's Kriyas HaTorah. The Torah presents us two different parashiyos in terms of a woman experiencing bleeding. If the woman experiences bleeding at a normal time, she's technically what's called a nida. And the Torah says shivas yom tiyam nida, so she just has to wait 7 days. So she gets a period on Tuesday morning, so she counts Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Monday night she's fine. She goes to the mikvah. There's no need to count shivas yom, as long as by Monday night the bleeding is stopped. So she goes to the mikvah Monday night, finished. That's the din in the Torah. Then the Torah says, but if the bleeding was below the nidasa, if it wasn't as part of the regular set cycle, so then if she bleeds 1 day, she counts 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, she counts 3 days, then she has to count the sufalosh of his yamim, then she has to count 7 clean days, yachatita, then and only then she goes to the mikvah. So the Gemara tells us that it's nidas, already the days of the Tanoim, and then already the days of Amorim, and we came to the conclusion that it's going to be very, very hard for women to know which parasha they're in. Not so simple, because Nida is very complicated. So a woman's going to have to know, is she Nida, she is Ova, does she need, she can not need, she can. So therefore, the days of the Tanoim already, they pretty much made a takana that any time a woman starts to bleed, so then she has to be machmer, either she's a zava gedola, and across the board, she requires shiva dekiyum. That's how hilchos nida has been practiced for the last 2,000 years. So women, as matter as that, have to count shiva dekiyum no matter what, all with the rabban gezeira atu zava gedola. So sometimes she needs shiva dekiyum in that Torah, sometimes she only needs it with the rabban. So Tosa says that most of the time when we go to the mikveh today, it's technically shalom bezmana. Because the real Zman Tefillah is at the end of the 7 days. So we can't do that. We have to wait Shiva Nekim. So we count. We don't go to the Mikvah until 12 days, 30 days, 40 days. It takes a long time. But since the Torah, the Zman Tefillah was already a couple of days ago, so that's labeled as a Shalom Zmana. Since the Shalom Zmana, it doesn't have the ability to push you off Yom Kippur Tishbav. So that's what Tosa suggests, that even though the Gemara says you can go to the Mikvah Yom Kippur Tishbav, no problem, Tosa puts the brakes and says, no, that was only true in the olden days. Before, women were counting Shiva Nekiyam. Once women are counting Shiva Nekiyam, then the kula falls by the wayside. The Tosas is not so sure that this is correct. They're trying to give you a whole shtickle Torah why it is or is not correct. And then in the end, Tosas writes a different story. And you go down to that Tosas, again, page 35, the fifth of the Mar Mekomos, so the end of the fourth line from the bottom, the Oda Marie, the Re suggests another reason why maybe women should not be going to the Mikvah Yom Kippur Bizman again. The Adam Marie, the Bizman Azeh, ain't tov the Lobby Yom Kippur of Lobby Tisha B'Av. It doesn't make any sense for women to go to the Mikvah, neither on Yom Kippur nor on Tisha B'Av. Why? The Dafka Heim Shev Oski B'Tairus, Chayetzach Lit V'Miyad. In the olden days, when they were involved with Tumah V'Tahara, even after the Base of Mikdash was destroyed, they were still observing Tumah V'Tahara. The Gemara says, Maseches Nida, that the Eifra Paraduma, the ashes of Paraduma, was still around for a couple hundred years after the Churban. The cow is very, very big. You make a Paraduma, the ashes last for a long, 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 long time. So there was still a limited supply of ashes into the days of the early Amorim. Like Gemara says that there were still people in Eretz Yisrael talking about the 200 years after the Churban who still had access to the remaining ashes from the Paraduma from the last Beis Hamikdash. So they were still observing, there were still people who were observing Tumah V'Tahara even after there was a Churban. Comes to us and says that in the days, in the old days, in the Beis Hamikdash, or right after the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, but they were still observing Tumah V'Tahara. So then it made sense that we want to encourage the women to be tovel at the first possible moment. So Hayat Sarach Lipo Miyad Kadesh L'Tamo Tairus, because they're going to be touching food on Yom Kippur, so they're going to be touching food on Tisha B'Av. Even though they're not eating, they're going to be preparing food for the kids, whatever it is. So we're afraid that the food may become tummy. Aval Hashta Bizman Azeh Tosis, we're living in France, in the 1100s. We haven't had Eifa Parduma in 800 years. So nobody today, nobody cares about Tumah V'Tahara anymore. So today, what's the big rush for the woman to go to the Mikvah? So Halel Tefillah is Yom Kippur night. What's she going to the Mikvah for? What is she trying to accomplish when going to the Mikvah? For Tumah V'Tahara, she's tummy base anyway, nobody's observing Tumah V'Tahara. What's the big rush? To be with her husband? She can't be with her husband anyway. Aval Hashta Tefillah Eva El Tahara Labayla. So what's the big rush? She's a surah about anyway in Yom Kippur. She can't be with her husband anyway on Tisha B'Av. This is right that there's no reason, no compelling reason to go to the Mikvah Yom Kippur night this man is there. There's no compelling reason to go to the Mikvah Tisha B'Av night this man is there. So what should you do? It says, Yecholi lirchotz v'lochem Erev Yom Kippur. So she should wash herself on Erev Yom Kippur. She should do a chafifa. We haven't even spoken about chafifa yet. And Mar says later on, it's going to be one of our major topics, is the preparation for going to the Mikvah. So chafifa means that min haTorah, when a person goes to the Mikvah, they have to just check themselves that they don't have any serious chatzitas on the body. What do they have to do to check themselves? So the Gemara says, you and the Alam, just take a look. Look at the top. Don't say big mud spot. Don't say anything. Take out your contact lenses. Take out your chicken nail. Just look around. Make sure there's nothing major going on. That's Min HaTorah. Mid the Rabbana, they instituted that you have to do more than that. Not enough just to take a quick head-to-toe check. You have to actually wash yourself. You have to comb your hair. You have to really actively make sure there's nothing there. That's what's called Chafifa. So the Gemara says in Bava Kamma that the Takon of Chafifa was made in the days of Ezra. That in the days of Ice Rishon, so they didn't do Chafifa. They didn't mamash sit in the bath. They didn't sit and wash themselves. They didn't comb it. They looked quickly. No chatzitz is finished. They went to the mikvah. In the later days, in the days of Ezra, so he instituted as a zehira, so that people should be more careful. They should formally check themselves and formally wash themselves and formally bathe and go through the hair to make sure that everything is okay. That's what Bizman is. That woman must do Chafifa before she goes to the mikvah. So Tosfos writes, if a woman knows that she should technically go to the mikvah Yom Kippur night, what she should do is she should wash herself before Yom Kippur. She should do a chafifa. Kidei she tisrok sara b'chafefes ma'at motzai Yom Kippur. Then she should do a little bit more of a chafifa motzai Yom Kippur. She shouldn't wait for the whole chafifa to motzai Yom Kippur. It's going to be very late. By the time she starts doing chafifa motzai Yom Kippur, she's going to finish till the ila finishes, till they get home and become dull and eat this. She's going to want to eat something. It's going to be, who knows, it's going to be 10 o'clock at night. The Tosa says, we'll talk about this later on, the Gemara says we're afraid that if a woman starts doing a chafifa so late, she's not going to do a good job. In the olden days, especially if women were afraid to walk out at night, so they're going to walk to the mikvah, it's going to be dangerous. So the woman's going to be very nervous, she's going to do a very, very quick chafifa, because she doesn't want to walk be in the street so late. So therefore, Chazal wanted that she do a more thorough chafifa, so we recommend that she does the chafifa earlier, even though it's a day before. It's better to do the ikah chafifa now. So we'll talk about this hopefully in great detail. What do you do when a woman goes to the mikvah on Mitzvah Shabbos, Mitzvah Yom Tov, Mitzvah Yom Kippur? How do you talk the chafifa properly? But the bottom line is that she should not be going to the mikvah on Yom Kippur itself. And then he writes at the end of the second, to the last line, V'chein b'tishbav. T'afilu titvav b'yom kippur b'tishbav. So no matter what in the world are you going to gain by sending it to the mikvah on Yom Kippur night, or sending it to the mikvah on Tishbav night, said she's going to be Asher Levayin anyway. So there's no big rush, there's nothing to gain. So that's how we practice today, that we do not have the women go to the mikvah on neither Yom Kippur nor Tishbav, even though Midin the Gemara was probably okay. Midin the Gemara, in terms of Yom Kippur and Tishbav proper, it's probably okay. So Tosa says, for one of two reasons we refrain from doing that. Either because we paskin that this is not really Zman HaTefillah anyway, so there's nothing great to be gained. Or, even if it's technically Zman HaTefillah, but Lamaisa is not to be gained anyway, she can't be with the husband anyway, so therefore we would not recommend this. So therefore, let's Lamaisa, Loch Lamaisa, the Mikvos, the Zman HaZeh, are actually closed on Yom Kippur night or on Tisha B'Av night. So now we move into the next major topic in terms of Zman HaTefillah, in terms of when a woman should be going to, because soon we've identified that she's ready to go to the mikvah. Should she be going to the mikvah by yom, or should she be going to the mikvah by laila? So the Gemara discusses this on a level of the raisa, and then moves into the realm of the rabbanan. And then the question becomes, how does that play out bizman hazeh? So very important, very very critical sugi bizman hazeh. What time in the day or night is the proper time for the woman to go to the mikvah? So we go back to page 35. So the new topic tefillah by yom. It says CD 42. So comes the Gemara in Nida, Daf Samach Zayin with Beis, and introduces Amar Rav, Nida Bizmana Eina Tevelas Ela Balayla, V'Shalo Bizmana Tevelas Bein Bayom Bein Balayla. If a woman is going to the mikvah Bizmana, now let's be very careful in Rav's words. Rav says Nida, so he's not talking about anything about Shivanakim. Rav is talking about the real, official Nida, the official Torah term of Nida, as we read it in yesterday's Parsha. So a woman becomes a dami, a zov, so shivas yom tiyabidi nasa. She's in nida for 7 days. Let's say she got a period on Monday morning, so she counts for 7 days. She's still bleeding. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. Sunday is the seventh day. So as long as the bleeding has stopped, so then when does she go to the mikvah? So Rav says, Eina tevelas el balayla. She cannot go to the mikvah Sunday during the daytime. She has to wait until Sunday night in order to go to the mikvah. And that is an absolute din min haTorah. Because otherwise, it's not Shuvas Yomim Tiyavidasa. That 7 days for Chas Nida means 7 full complete days. For Nida proper, you don't say Miktas Yom Kukula for whatever reason. You need 7 full days. Shuvas Yom Tiyavidasa. You say Miktas Yom Kukula at the beginning. Namely, if she starts to bleed on Sunday afternoon, you don't have to wait 7 days till until Me'es Li'es. You don't have to wait until 3 o'clock in the afternoon the following day to go to the mikvah. Sunday counts on the first day, but then, whatever day it was, and then the last day, so she goes to the mikvah Malayla, that's a diminutor. What would the din be if she went to the mikvah early? So that would be an Issacharis, because the tefillah is mamash achal. The tefillah doesn't take effect. It's too early. So that's a given. Nobody argues on that. Neither bismana, and it's also Malayla. What about Vishalai bismana? What if the woman is not going to the mikvah bismana anyway? For whatever reason, she was supposed to go to the mikvah Sunday night, and she was out of town, she was on a plane, she's not going Sunday night anyway. So now, the next time for her to go is Monday. So comes Rav and says, when it comes to Shalom Bismana, she can go Bein Bayom Bein Balayla. She can go either Monday night, or Monday afternoon, or Monday morning. Why? Once she's already reached the point of Shiviz Yom Tiyavidiz Asa, so what's the problem? There's no Halacha Vash Masinai. A woman has to go to the mikvah at night, says Rav. The din is, you usually go to the mikvah at night, because you have to wait till the 7 halachic days are over. But if you've waited, the halachic days are over, and now it just happens to be the daytime, so that's what's wrong with that. So that's what Rav says, that if it's bismana, if it's the end of the 7 days, then for sure, you have to wait till the night. If it's already on the 8th day, then it's mutter, you can go to the mikvah, even like a tchila, by yoin. Rabbi Yochanan and Omar, Rabbi Yochanan said, no. Bein bismana, bein shalom bismana, in a tabelas ala balayla. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan, one is not allowed to go to the mikvah, even shalom bismana, even on the 8th day, the 9th day, the 20th day, you can't go to the mikvah by yom. Why not? Rav is right. In October, the 7 days are up, so what are you waiting for? So the Gemara says there's another concern with the Rabbanan that's called Tzrach Bita. Tzrach Bita means that her daughter may see what she's doing, and she's going to get confused, and she's going to get the wrong message. What would be the wrong message? If the girl is watching, and she realizes her mother just went to the mikvah, and it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So the girl's going to think, oh, you're allowed to go to the mikvah in the daytime. Little does the girl know that her mother's going to the mikvah in the daytime because this is her 8th day, so for her it's not a problem. The girl's going to get married in a few months and she's going to think, oh, I remember my mother. My mother used to go to the mikvah in the daytime. I'm allowed to go to the mikvah in the daytime, and she's going to end up going to the mikvah on the 7th day in the daytime, which would be a disaster. That would lead to an issacharis. So therefore, Midr Rabbanan, Rav said, we want women to always get into the habit of going to the mikvah by night, even though it's not necessary all the time. It's only necessary when she's going to Bismana. But as a low plug, we don't want women to get into the bad habit of going by Yom, lest it leads to a confusion down the line. That was the takana only Midr Rabbanan, Rabbi Yochanan. And Rav apparently didn't accept that takana. But then the Gemara says it's true that originally Rav didn't accept that takana. Even Rav himself bought into the takana eventually. Even Rav gave into that. Then in later years, Rav must have heard Rav Yochanan's takana, and he thought that makes a lot of sense. It really makes sense that we shouldn't let the women go to the mikvah by yom. That this is a real concern, Srach Bita. So that's, of course, how we fast. First of all, whenever there's machlekes, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, anyway, we follow Rabbi Yochanan. And in this case, Rav himself changed his mind. So there's no question that the final psak halacha is, there is a gzeirah mid rabbanan called Srach Bita. That's what we are worried about, this man hazeh. And therefore, we will not permit a woman to go to the mikvah by yom, even if it's not a shalva deraisa. It would still be a problem and a love of the rabbanan. The post can point out that this takana of Srach Bita was across the board. It's a low plug. What if she doesn't have a daughter? She just got married last week. So it doesn't matter. You don't make distinctions. These guys didn't do Rabbanan and say, if she has a daughter, but if the daughter's only 2 years old, so the daughter doesn't realize that the daughter doesn't live at home anymore. So you don't make these kind of chilukim. That Srach Bita means with the Rabbanan, they made a gezeira across the board as a low plug, that women should not be going to the mikvah in the daytime. So this whole discussion was all assuming that we're dealing with a problem potentially with deraisa, because we're dealing with the need of deraisa, which could potentially be a very, very serious problem. Of the person goes to the mikvah too early, it could really, really be problematic. So now comes the Gemara and says that since this whole issue of Srach Bita was only a din midirabbanan, so like we find another din midirabbanan, that din midirabbanan were only instituted when one is able to do it. It was a big shasal chak, so very often Chazal lifted their takara sacham, very often they gave you kulas when there were extenuating circumstances. It would be a din deraisa, you can't, unless it's a chal shesh pasakara, it would be very, very little to play with for a din deraisa. Din derabbanan. Sometimes Chazal lifted, mitigated certain din derabbanan when they felt it was a big tzarech. So here, the Gemara says they realize that sometimes it's a big tzarech. To tell a woman to go to the mikvah at night is not always the easiest thing to do, because sometimes it's dangerous, sometimes there are extenuating factors. So the Gemara says as follows: Askin Rav Idi ben Narish. Rav Idi made a takana in the city of Narish. Lemeitva biyomet etavnaya. He let women go to the mikvah the eighth day during the daytime. On the seventh day in the daytime, that wasn't even a discussion. That's a din deraisa. But the eighth day, when it was only a shaila of a din derabbanan of sachbita, he was permitted it under very, very extenuating circumstances. What were they? Mishum aryusa. There were lions. So there were lions that would walk in the streets. I don't know if they were big lions or little lions, whatever it was, not the friendliest things. And therefore, the women were very, very nervous. The women didn't want to go out into the street at night. So therefore, he let women go to the mikvah on the eighth day by day, basically overriding this issa, this chi of the rabbanan, this issa, the rabbanan of sachbita. Rav Acha ben Yaakov ben Pupanya, mishum ganvei. Rav Acha ben Yaakov permitted the same thing in the city of Papunya because of ganovim. There were robbers and thieves and men that's walking around at night. Rav Yehuda ben Pupadisa mishum tzina. Rav Yehuda permitted this in Pupadisa because of tzina, because it was very, very cold at night. Also, the women were afraid to go out late at night, so he would let them go to the mikvah in the daytime. Rav ben Machuz mishum avoloi. Rav let them go to the mikvah in the daytime. Again, only the eighth day, not on the seventh day. Only on the eighth day, because of Abuloy. Abuloy means that they used to lock up the gates. There was a curfews at night. The goy would lock the city gates, so that if the woman's going to go to the mikvah, if the dog, she's going to end up being stuck outside the gates at night. So obviously that wasn't an option. So because of all these reasons, the Amorim would make you to let the women go to the mikvah on the eighth day of Yom. But again, these are all predicated on the assumption we're only dealing with the Derabbanan anyway. When Chazal felt that the din derabbanan was just impossible, very, very difficult to keep, so then they lifted that din derabbanan, they let the women go to the mikvah on the eighth day. The seventh day was out of the question. The first time that I ever heard of this halacha was I was a fairly little young boy, but when I grew up, there was no mikvah in Riverdale, so the closest mikvah was in Washington Heights. So when Erev Yom Kippur, a little boy, go, but I got a little bit older, so I went to the mikvah on Erev Yom Kippur. So we used to go to Washington Heights mikvah. So I remember, as a little boy, I remember there was a big blatant sign. There was a big sign that said, when you came into the mikvah, it said that if you find it too dangerous to come to the mikvah during evening, during regular hours, please call the following number, and we will consult with Rafio, and we'll make other considerations for you to go to the mikvah during the daytime. So I remember, I never understood what that was all about. I guess I must have read it every year when I went. And then when I got older, I realized, oh, that's what they're talking about. The mikvah, those who remember the old mikvah in Washington Heights. So not where it is now, not where the Broye mikvah is. It used to be on 187th and Audubon. These would be closer on the Wayu side. And the reason why they moved it, because it wasn't such a safe as the neighborhood changed. So they moved the mikvah down. Now you wouldn't want to be going into that building late at night or even in the daytime. I think it's other things going on in that area right now. But that was the old mikvah. So I remember that sign. Then when I got a little bit older, I realized, oh, that's this gemara. That it was too dangerous. Some people felt it was too dangerous for them to walk to the mikvah at night. So they wouldn't let them go the seventh day by day. They would let them go the eighth day during the daytime. So up until now, we've been dealing with a nida, on a level of deraisa, the nida. But the question is, how does this play out for us? Because for us, none of the wives are really nidas. They're really suffering zavos. Because since we're not sure who the nida is, zavos, some of the rabbanon, everybody counts shiv nikiyim. So how did that play out in terms of this man hatfila? So the Gemara continues. Amalei Rav Papa leRava uLebai. Michtei haIdna. We, this man hazel, Rav Papa's ready in the later generations of Amorim, who's the Talmud ready for Bayan Rava. So he's saying, Bechdeh ha'idna b'zman hazel, kulu suffix zavos shivin rabbanon. With the rabbanon, all of our wives are suffix zavos. So we have to go to the mikvah after counting shivin nikiyim. With the lid of your mama, the shvi'a, we should let our wives go to the mikvah on the seventh day during the daytime. Why is that? When you're dealing with a din, the araisa, when you're dealing with the din mina Torah of Nida, so that Shiva's Yom Tiyah Nida, so you have to wait 7 days, 7 full days till it gets dark, so it's not negotiable to go to the mikvah during the daytime. But if you're treating a woman as a suffix zava, so the Shiva's Yom Tiyah Nida are gone already a week ago, and that's already long gone. The reason why we're waiting now is the extra 7 days of Shiva Nikiyah to fulfill the Pasuk of Pashas Petzora, if you have Taharami Zavavi, Safra Allah Shiva's Yom Yachat Titar, the counting of Shiva Nikiyah, on the last day of Shiva Nikiyah, we apply the principle of Mitzvah Yom Gekula. That once the woman does her last bedikas on the seventh day, so she is allowed to go to the mikvah. You don't apply mitzvahs yom kulo for yimei nida, but you do apply it for yimei ziva. Why is that? So one possible reason is mitzvahs yom kulo applies when you're doing something. If you actively do something on the seventh day, that's called mitzvahs yom kulo, like lamashal avelus. Mitzvahs yom kulo means on the seventh day the person is observing avelus on the seventh day. There's some kind of anhaga, some kind of a positive fulfillment. Then we apply the rule of mitzvahs yom kulo. Or, let's say, when it comes to Hilchas Zava. So on the seventh day, she's counting the seventh day. She's doing a bdika, so she's counting the seventh day. Nida, you don't do anything for Nida. Nida just comes and goes. So you don't say Mitzvah Yom Kekula. That's what some say, that's the reason. But Lamaisa, the din is, that on the seventh day of Shiva Nikiyim, we apply the principle of Mitzvah Yom Kekula, and therefore, Mikra Din in a Torah, women should be permitted to go to the mikvah on the seventh day. So all the concerns that we had that Shiva's Yomim, Tiyabididasa, Gavaltas, Kuviyadisakares, none of that applies to this man of death. Because by the time our wives go to the mikvah, the 7 days of Nida are long gone, and the 7 days of Zava have ended in the morning. So why aren't we going to the mikvah in the daytime? Everything should change with man of death. That was your papa's question. So the Gemara says, no, the reason why we don't do that is Bishum Dur Bishimin, the Sanya. Achatita, commenting on the possibly yesterday, Skriya Satara, that after she counts 7 days, then she's Tahora. So Acha Lakulan. So first of all, that phrase achatita means that it has to be a complete and total 7 days, that if any day became tummy in the middle, so that knocks off everything, you have to start all over again. Rabbi Shimon says achatita means achamaisatita. That means once she checks herself, once she does that last bedika, she does bedika in the morning of the seventh day, tita, she can go to the mikvah. Even though that's the din in the Torah, that on the seventh day of Shiva Nikiyim, for sure she can go to the mikvah. But Omru Chacham Asalaskin Shemitav al Deisafik. Technically speaking, she can go to the mikvah on the seventh day in the morning, bizman is there. She can be with her husband also. Why not? Achatita. Speaksim kakula. Finished. Same way that the oval gets up from Shiva on the morning of the seventh, no problem, goes back to work, seventh day in the daytime. So too, the seventh day, she's back to being with her husband. That's the dimin of Torah. But Midir Rabbanan, Rabbi Shimon says, we don't like that. Amuchom, that's not a good idea. Why is it not a good idea? Because even though she's technically allowed to go to the mikvah, she's technically allowed to be with her husband, but it's on the condition that she doesn't bleed anymore during that day. Since she is theoretically still in the Shiva Nikiyim, she could be, it's a strange thing, she could be with her husband, but she's still theoretically in Shiva Nikiyim. What that means is as follows: if the seventh day passes by and there's no bleeding, then great, but Igloy Milson, it turns out, everything was fine. But if, so she went to the mikvah at 8 o'clock in the morning, she's with her husband at 10 o'clock in the morning. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she starts to bleed. So we don't say she becomes a surah from here on in. But rather, we say, oh yeah, yeah, you bled on the seventh day. Turns out you never really completed Shiva Nikiyim. The whole Shiva Nikiyim was uprooted retroactively. The whole tefillah was null and void. Basically, it was an issakaris. Those are the consequences of potentially being with your husband and then subsequently a regular woman goes to the mikvah after Shiva Nikiyim are over, the way we do today. She goes to the mikvah at night. She's with the husband. Even if she'll start to bleed 2 hours later, okay. So she'll have to start counting and start becoming a surah again. But you don't become a surah retroactively. The only time a woman becomes a surah, the mafreya, retroactively, is only if it's still technically within the Shiva Nikiyim. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon tells us that Minat Torah, this is great. Minat Torah, go to the mikvah, be the husband, and fine. But Midir Rabbanan, you can't do that. Amuch Chachamim, it's too dangerous. So therefore, Midir Rabbanan, they said, forget it. You're not allowed to do that. Shema Tavla Dei Sofik. So said Abai and Rabbi, back to her papa, that's the reason why, Bizman Hazeh, we don't go to the mikvah by Yom. So the question is, what exactly did Abai and Rabbi mean for that statement? This is the statement that's relevant for us. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan is not relevant for us. Because Rav and Rabbi Yochanan were discussing Anita Deraisa. Bizman Hazeh, everything is a week later. So the 7 days of Omer Derabbanan. So what exactly did Abai and Rabbi mean? Therefore, women don't go to the mikvah in the daytime. So the Balamor has a startling sheet. The Balamor says, all Abai and Rabbi meant was, is that don't be with your husband during the daytime. It's the seventh day of Shiva Nikiyim. Midat Torah, you can go to the mikvah in the morning. Midat Torah, you can be with your husband in the morning and live dangerously. So Midat Derabbanan, the Chazal said, don't live so dangerously. Don't be with your husband. If you want to go to the mikvah and not be with your husband, there's a day. Vishtek, you can't go to the mikvah. You go to the mikvah, it's easier for you to go to the mikvah at 8 o'clock in the morning. So you go 8 o'clock in the morning, and then you wait it out, and you hang in there until the night, and then it only got you to get with your husband. If I go to the mikvah, be the odyom, there's nothing wrong with that. And Rub of the Rishonim say, forget it. Rub of the Rishonim say that included in Rabbi Shimon's statement that Amu Chacham Asalasis Kain doesn't just mean also to be with your husband. Aslaskei means don't go to the mikveh. Because if we let you go to the mikveh bayom, the next thing you know is you're going to be with your husband bayom, and the next thing you know is you're going to bleed, and we're going to have to declare retroactively that you violated nisakari. So the overall majority of Rishonim that we passed in Shulchan Aruch say that when Chazal prohibited a woman from going to the mikveh bayom, even bizman hazeh, even though minhag Torah, it doesn't make any sense. But when Chazal instituted that you're not allowed to be with your husband bayom gezeira otu shemitir v'tistor, so included in that din derabbanan was an issa to go to the mikveh as well. So that's how we passed the Shulchan Aruch, that even bizman hazeh, a woman may not go to the mikveh bayom on the seventh day because of this problem of if you go to the mikveh, connect the dots. Go to the mikveh, leave to tashpish will potentially, there'll be bleeding. Bleeding will retroactively declare that there was an issa corresponding.
So the whole reason is because it's still within the
design of
him, and why then when it's on the eighth day?
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. So again, we started out with the Rav Papa and Abai and Rav's discussion of Bizman Hazeh. We pointed out the Machlokes about Lamor and others, and now the question becomes, oh, wait a second, what about if it's all on the eighth day? What if everything, for whatever reason, she was out of town, and now it's the next day? So now what do you do? So some Rishonim, there's one opinion Rishonim that goes to Maimini that says that Enoch and Abba, it's the eighth day, so there's nothing to worry about, there's zero to worry about, and therefore the woman wants to go to the mikvah on the eighth day by Yom, because on the day, what could possibly be wrong? And Tosfos disagrees even with that. Why is that? Because the two magic words from Nida come back called Tzrach Bita. What was the takon of Tzrach Bita? Tzrach Bita meant that even though technically you can go to the mikvah by Yom, but if you let you go to the mikvah by Yom, then your daughter is going to think you're allowed to go by Yom, and the daughter is going to end up going by Yom as well. So in the days of the Gemara, or in the early days, the days of Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, that was a big problem, because the daughter makes a mistake and goes by Yom, she's a Nida D'Araisa, going by Yom will be an Issacharis. Bizman Hazeh, what would be the big tragedy if the girl goes to the mikvah by Yom? So even if it's on the seventh day, what's so terrible? So she made a mistake. She saw her mother went on the eighth day, she didn't chapa was the eighth day, she'll go on the seventh day. So once on the fellow, she goes on the seventh day. Going on the seventh day, Bizman Hazeh is only a problem as a gezeira. Maybe she'll be with the husband, which is maybe far-fetched. Maybe she'll be tira b'tisto, which is vaita far-fetched. What's so terrible? That's what the Gos Maimon writes, that Bizman Hazeh, to let a woman go to the mikvah the eighth day, so that's fine. It's like your ears. You mechavit to the Gos Maimon. What could possibly go wrong? And Tosfos says, no, we're concerned with Tzrach Bita then also. Tzrach Bita means a low flow across the board. Anytime the halacha says, don't go to the mikvah by Yom, we will not let you go by Yom. Bein b'yom ashvi, bein b'yom ashmini, bein b'yom, no matter what, women just don't go to the mikveh by Yom. Finish, end of discussion. So that's halacha l'maaseh, that's how we passed. We followed Tosfos, which is really a chumras of chumras of chumras of chumras. I mean, each one of those chumras is the majority of you in the Rishonim. That's how we accept the halacha. So we take a look at the bottom line, where all the dust settles, on page 35, actually it starts already on page 36. So Shulchan Aruch writes, at the top of page 36, asur l'tfo b'yom zayin, that a woman is not allowed to go to the mikvah on the seventh day. That's the real din of midrabbanan gezeira shematir v'tistor. V'afilu imamtenes militfo al yemches otes. Even if she's going to wait it out until the eighth day, until the ninth day, einichal litfo bayom, she's still not allowed to go to the mikvah bayom mishum srach bita, because of the concern of srach bita. So again, even though the srach bita is very, very extended, it's a chumras agavi chumras. That's the way it is. That's halacha l'maaseh that we passed it. Nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch does write in Tziftes that, quoting the Gemara back from the Masechet Nida, Heichadika ones, if there's a real concern, if there's some real emergency, what are some of the emergencies? Kigon, she rambles about the Laila, she's afraid to go to the mikvah at night, machmas tzina, because it's too cold, o pachad ganovim, or she's afraid of the robbers, vichad yotzebel, other kinds of concerns, o she's sobin shari ha'ir, or if they're locking up the gates of the city, yachola litbo b'shmini mibiod yom, and she can go to the mikvah mibiod yom, because the issa derabbanan of srach bita was lifted for these concerns. So in the early days of the Tanoim, so there was a much more serious srach bita, and they still lifted it, kalachoyme asrach bita, the man zeh asrach bita is much, much less of a concern, but we pass it against the Balamor, we pass it against the Gosmanim, we pass it in Shulchan Aruch like Tosfos, that there is a concern of srach bita, even on the eighth day, but that concern of srach bita, they lifted. And therefore, on the eighth day, when there's a big tzorech, so big oynes, then and only then will we let the woman go to the mikvah bayom. But the Shulchan Aruch says, categorically, about b'shvi, But on the seventh day, forget it. Lo titcho mivyad yom. Out of the question, says the Shulchan Aruch. Hafa gavika oynes. Even if there's a big, big oynes, it's still out of the question, because we have no right to lift that real din. The real, real issur of going by yom, even though for us it's not exactly as chomer as it was in the olden days, nevertheless, that's a real bona fide prohibition with the Rabbanon, not to be toivah by yom, gezeirah may be together by yom, gezeirah shevatir v'tistar, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch paskins across the board. Eighth day sometimes, seventh day out of the question. So hopefully we'll have to see Shem next week. Are those two statements absolute? Namely that the seventh day is absolutely, completely, totally out of the question, or that can we potentially create a situation where even in the seventh day, because let's not forget, it's only the Rabbanon. In the olden days when there was a deraisas and it was a moot question, but Kizman Azeh was the seventh day Isra's only the Rabbanon, is there any finagle, any maneuvering, we may come up with a situation where perhaps under very, very extenuating circumstances, even on the seventh day, that perhaps we'll be able to be on the next week, we'll try to pick up on that.